welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on Friday and Saturday, April 13th and 14th at 8 p.m. in Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh, and Sunday, April 15th at 7:30 p.m. in Memorial Hall, UNC Chapel Hill. This concert will be conducted by guest conductor David Donsmere. The featured soloist will be violinist Angelo Xiang U. The program on this performance will include the following. First, music by the American composer Sarah Kirkland Snyder, entitled Something for the Dark. That will be followed by the Violin Concerto No. 2 in G minor, Opus 63 by Sergei Prokofiev. And then the symphony returns to the stage after the intermission to perform the Symphony No. 4 in E minor, Opus 98, by Johannes Brahms. Now we'll begin reading our symphony notes. First, some information about our guest conductor. Born in Austria, David Donsmere currently serves as chief conductor of the Zagreb Philharmonic Orchestra in Croatia. In two seasons, he has already taken the orchestra on tour to Vienna and Salzburg and will lead several major tours of Europe in the coming seasons. Donsmere also serves as music director of the Pro Musica Chamber Orchestra in Columbus, Ohio. Previously, he served as music director of the Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra, where his commitment to living American composers was evident by his promise to program one American work on every single program he conducted during his tenure. He has also served as assistant conductor of the Royal Scottish National Orchestra. He makes debuts in the 2017-18 season with the Deutsche Kammerphilharmonie Bremen, Swedish Chamber Orchestra, the Oregon Symphony, the North Carolina Symphony, and Grant Park Orchestra in Chicago. Donsmere earned second prize as the International Gustav Mahler Conducting Competition and was a finalist at the International Malko Conducting Competition. He has been awarded the Bernhard Paumgartner Medal by Austria's Internationale Stiftung Mozarteum. He received his musical training at the University Mozarteum Salzburg, initially studying piano and then conducting. He also served as conducting fellow at the Gustav Mahler Youth Orchestra and studied in the prestigious conducting class at the Sibelius Academy in Finland. Our featured violinist for this evening's concert is Angelo Xiang U. In March 2017, violinist U was chosen to join the roster of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center's CMS2, beginning in the 2018-19 season. Winner of the Yehudi Menuhin International Violin Competition in 2010, U was also awarded second prize at the International Competition of Young Violinists in honor of K. Lipinski and H. Vinowski, and third prize at the Michael Hill International Violin Competition. Highlights of his 2017-18 season include debuts with the Colorado Symphony, the Cincinnati Chamber Orchestra, and the Grant Park Music Festival in Chicago. His recital debut at the Ravinia Festival, return engagements with the Puerto Rico Symphony Orchestra and the North Carolina Symphony. He first performed with the North Carolina Symphony, by the way, in 2016 as a soloist in the Sanson Violin Concerto No. 2. A return to Jordan Hall in Boston and a debut with the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra with performances throughout the country. Born in Inner Mongolia, China, U moved to Shanghai at the age of 11 and received his early training at the Shanghai Conservatory of Music. U earned bachelor's and master's degrees at the New England Conservatory of Music in Boston. He was the only instrumentalist invited to be a candidate for NEC's most prestigious artist diploma. who currently resides in Boston and performs on a 1729 Stradivarius violin, generously on loan from an anonymous donor. The first work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony in this performance is Something for the Dark by Sarah Kirkland Snyder. Snyder was born October 8, 1973, in Princeton, New Jersey. The work was composed in 2016 and the first performance April 14, 2016, in Detroit. Giancarlo Guerrero was the conductor. Now here is the overview. Sarah Kirkland Snyder was born in 1973 in Princeton, New Jersey. Her parents were not skilled musically, but they were avid listeners, and she inherited their interest. She began piano lessons at six, starting making up music 3 years later, demonstrated talent in cello and choral singing in high school, and went to Wesleyan University for her undergraduate work. Advanced study at the Yale School of Music followed, as did a summer as a fellowship student at the Aspen Music Festival in 2006. Snyder's music has been commissioned and performed by leading orchestras, ensembles, and soloists in Europe and America, and has been recognized with grants and awards from the National Endowment for the Arts, New Music USA, Opera America, Sorrel Organization, and Jerome Composers Commissioning Fund. She was the winner of the Detroit Symphony Orchestra's 2014 Elaine Lebenbaum Memorial Award for Female Composers, and held residences at the Bowling Green New Music and Art Festival and SUNY Fredonia's Ethos New Music Society. Now here is what to listen for. Snyder wrote of Something for the Dark, the resultant commission from her winning the Detroit Symphony Orchestra's 2014 Lebenbaum Memorial Award. "When I received the commission to write this piece, I thought I would try to write something about hope, an essential element of Detroit's narrative of endurance, or indeed any narrative. Early into my sketches for the piece, I stumbled upon an idea that sounded to me like hope incarnate, a bold, noble, full-hearted little melody surrounded by sunlight and dignity and shiny things. I thought I would open the piece with it and then have the music journey through some adversity to find its way back to an even bigger, bolder statement of optimism. Growth, triumph, a happy ending. But that wasn't what happened. The piece opens with this shiny statement of hope and sets out on an uncertain journey to find it again, but it can't. Instead, it encounters strange new echoes of the motif in different, unfamiliar settings. It follows digressions, trying to resolve related but new musical arguments. Eventually, it finds its way to solid ground, though the piece is quite a bit darker than where it began. But to my mind, this arrival feels more trustworthy, more complete, more worthy of celebration, because it feels more real. While composing the piece, I read Detroit poet Philip Levine's For Fran, whose last two lines struck me as an apt motto for the kind of clear-eyed reflection on endurance that runs through this piece. In preparing the flower beds for winter, Levine's wife becomes a symbol of the promise of renewal in general. Out of whatever we have been, we will make something for the dark. Something for the Dark is a meditation on the promise of renewal and the hard-won wisdom that attends the small personal daily triumphs of asserting one's right to be. The instrumentation for Something for the Dark is as follows: piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, English horn, three clarinets, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, harp, piano, celeste, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony performs the Violin Concerto No. 2 in G minor, Opus 63, by Sergei Prokofiev. Prokofiev was born April 23, 1891, in Sonzovka, Russia, and he died March 5, 1953, in Moscow. The work was composed in 1935, the first performance December 1, 1935 in Madrid, conducted by Enrique Arbós with Robert Sotins as the soloist. Now here is the overview. When Prokofiev returned to Russia full of allegiance to the socialist cause late in 1933, after his long residency in the West, he dedicated his art to fulfilling the dream of the revolution. In his brief autobiography of 1946, he wrote, "It is the duty of the composer, like the poet, the sculptor, or the painter, to serve his fellow men, to beautify human life, and point the way to a radiant future. Such is the immutable code as I see it." Once back in his homeland, Prokofiev wasted no time in putting into practice his theory of creating music that would communicate simply and directly to listeners. And within 3 years, he wrote some of his most enduringly popular scores: Lieutenant Kihei, Romeo and Juliet, Peter and the Wolf, and the Second Violin Concerto. Now here's what to listen for: the first movement's slightly melancholy main theme, built around a simple triadic configuration, is presented simply by the unaccompanied violin. The orchestra takes over the melody, allowing the soloist to apply it to some figurative arabesques that serve as the transition to the second subject. This theme, one of Prokofiev's greatest melodic inspirations, is sung by the violin above a quiet, undulating accompaniment in the strings. The development section is an elaboration of these two themes. The second movement is one of the most rapt, transcendent inspirations of 20th century music. The finale is in traditional rondo form. Its theme is an ebullient dance melody that exudes some of the fiery spirit of a gypsy fiddler. The instrumentation for this work, the Violin Concerto No. 2 by Prokofiev, is as follows: the solo violin, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, two horns, two trumpets, percussion, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform the Symphony No. 4 in E minor, Opus 98, by Johannes Brahms. Born May 7, 1833, in Hamburg, Brahms died April 3, 1897, in Vienna. The work was composed between 1884 and 1885, the first performance October 25, 1885, in Minnigen, conducted by the composer himself. Now here is the overview. In the popular image of Brahms, he appears as a patriarch, full gray beard, rosy cheeks, sparkling eyes. He grew the beard in his late 40s, as some say, a compensation for his late physical maturity. He was in his 20s before his voice changed and he needed to shave, and it seemed to be an external admission that Brahms had allowed himself to become an old man. The ideas did not seem to flow so freely as he approached the age of 50, and he even put his publisher on notice to expect nothing more. Thankfully, the ideas did come, as they would for more than another decade, and he soon completed the superb Third Symphony. The philosophical introspection continued, however, and was reflected in many of his works. The Second Piano Concerto of 1881 is almost autumnal in its mellow ripeness. This Fourth Symphony is music of deep thoughtfulness that leads into realms where joy and sorrow are hushed, and humanity bows before that which is eternal, wrote the German music scholar August Kretschmar. Now here's what to listen for. The symphony's first movement begins almost in mid-thought, as though the mood of sad melancholy pervading the opening theme had existed forever, and Brahms had simply borrowed a portion of it to present musically. The movement is founded upon the tiny two-note motif, short-long, heard immediately at the beginning. To introduce the necessary contrast in this sonata form, other themes are presented, including a broadly lyrical one for horns and cellos, and a fragmented fanfare. A funeral procession moving across moonlit heights is how the young Richard Strauss described the second movement. The movement opens with a stark melody, pregnant with grief. The mood brightens, but the introspective sorrow of the beginning is never far away. The dance-like quality of the third movement heightens the pathos of the surrounding movements, especially the granitic splendor of the finale. The closing movement is a passacaglia, a series of variations on a short recurring melody. There are some 30 continuous variations here, though it is less important to follow them individually than to feel the massive strength given to the movement by this technique. The opening chorale-like statement, in which trombones are heard for the first time in the symphony, recurs twice as a further supporting pillar in the unification of the movement. The instrumentation for this work is as follows. It's for piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, timpani, percussion, and strings. These symphony notes were written and copyrighted in 2018 by Dr. Richard E. Rota. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes for the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.